Hello, friends. Here we are back on A Heart Refined. This is episode 18 of James for You. We are in chapter 5. This is week 5. And then we're in chapter 2 of the book of James, verses 14 through 26. Y'all, I got so excited yesterday. And by the way, I know that's a lot of numbers and a lot of places, but just follow along. You'll totally get it. Follow along in the scripture and you will totally know where you are. Because if you are in the book also, the James for You book, it will show you what scripture you are going over. So you're totally on track with that. But yesterday I got so excited about what I was talking about, encouraging you to be a student of God's word, a theologian, studying the proper rightly divided hermeneutic, which is the interpretation of the scripture of God's word. I was getting so excited about that I got behind a little bit. And so I'm going to press forward in today's episode where I sort of cut off yesterday. I was saying to you, we were in the argument between how many Christians say that Paul in Romans contradicts what James says in the book of James. And what Paul is saying in the book of Romans is, for we conclude that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So it's faith alone that saves you. This is what he says in Romans 3:28. We come back and we see where James is saying, listen, I mean, he comes straight out of the gate here in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? And so we say, some people might say that that is a contradiction in God's word. But if you were to dig in the full context of what Paul and James are talking about or who they're talking to, you would see that they're actually complementing one another. They are talking, both speaking to the Christian Jewish community. This is sort of a large group of people, who Jews who have converted. We have the early age of the Messianic Jew, and they had become reliant on belief alone for salvation. This is, you know, while Paul is saying to them, you know, faith alone is going to save you. They take that quite literally and they forget what they're called to do, because Paul is very clear throughout his writings how he calls us to do things that glorify God, what faith and obedience look like together. But the people took him very literally at his word. So James is coming back and saying, look, your faith, while it's important, is not all that we're talking about here. And also, let's remember that Paul is speaking of the works in the Mosaic law. In other words, the old covenant you're no longer bound by, because Jesus came to not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So he carried the weight of all those man-made laws that were back in the old covenant, because he knew that we weren't going to be able to do that. You know, there's like 615 laws that were covered in the old covenant, in the Mosaic law, and it made it just about impossible for people to be able, well, of course, impossible without God's guidance, without God's precious hand in the works, for them to be able to do that. And so Jesus came. He took care of all that for us. That does not mean, however, that we don't glorify the Lord in what we do in our works. And so James comes behind here and is reminding that belief is not enough, that even the demons are solid in their belief, but a true faith in Jesus based on the new covenant, which is Jesus, requires a different kind of sacrifice than the old Mosaic covenant. So let's read again James 2:19-20. It says, you believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Senseless person, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? You know, I think that's a hard sock in the gut for some of us, because we realize that while we believe in Christ, we're not necessarily a lay down our life and follow him, deny ourselves and follow him no matter what kind of person. And that takes us into just like last week, where we start to see that darkness in ourselves. So, you know, that statement is pretty powerful there in James. But let's go even deeper and clarify a little bit what that means, what he's saying about even the demons believe. And on page 78 in the book, James for You, this is how Sam Alberry expands on that. He says, if we are ever tempted to congratulate ourselves on our orthodoxy, without having or about having our theology right, we need to remember who we share it with. The demons have sound doctrine. This should not be a surprise to us. They came from heaven after all. They know who God is. They know He is one. There are no atheists in the demonic realm. Oh, affirming certain right things about God is clearly not enough. Hell is full of good theology. Pleased with your right understanding of who God is? Congratulations. You are at precisely the same level as the demons. Not only that, James also points out that these demons shudder. It says so in verse 19. They're not unaffected by what they know about God. They do know enough of God's greatness to tremble at Him. Oh my goodness. So I feel like this clarifies for us that there's a lot of faith that we have. It's not that impressive. We really do pat ourselves on the back for this amazing Christian cape faith that we have, with our you know, superhero cape flapping in the background. Let's go on and read a little bit more about how to define our faith. It says on page 79 here in James for you. James's concern here is that we look at ourselves, not at the nominalism we might happen to see around us. His words, as ever, are very searching. We can be so quick to affirm our faith, to declare it in creeds and songs, prayers and conversations, that we never stop to imagine whether our profession of faith is truly credible. Now, I'm going to stop right here in the quote. I'm going to break down that a little bit. You know, I've thought about this so many times. Like, how many times do you sing the song, you know, Oceans, take me out into the ocean where my feet fail and where my, you know, I can't even remember the exact words, but it's saying to us, you know, I take me out into the deep so that all I can rely on is you, is more or less. How often do we sing that song or songs like it? And we are saying, God, this is who I am. Do we think that God can't hear us? And do we think that other people who are looking, they're paying attention to what we're doing and what we're going to do next? We're singing this song, and then all of a sudden a tragedy pops up in our life, and then we're shouting at God, well, how dare you? Who are you, God, to bring this on me? And that entitlement that we have. And yet God said, wait a minute, you said, take me where my feet may fail, is what it says. Yeah, take me out there, God. You said that. And so I took you at your word. Lord, listen to you. You prayed that with your heart, right? And so I think there's a lot of times where we go and say things like that, but it's not truly credible. We sing songs. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But don't change me at all, because I really want to just go have lunch after this and then watch the movie that I want to watch, or go home and yell at my husband and emasculate him and treat my children as though they are my God. On my way home from church, eat in a gluttonous fashion. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, but you're not welcome in the rest of my life. Is your faith truly credible? Do your works show that your faith is credible? Okay, so I'm going to go back to the quote. It says, immediately I hear myself thinking, of course I'm a Christian. I've always said I am. I need to stop and examine what is going on in my life. I need to look at my own heart. Y'all remember that we talked about this over and over again, that our hearts are wretched at best. And so we stand defending ourselves and defending our hearts when they really are wicked. They're evil. Until we surrender them to the Lord, until we truly surrender to the Holy Spirit, and we say, okay, not only do I believe in you, but I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Okay. Going back to the quote, loving saying that I am a Christian is not the proof that I am one. I am in as much danger as anyone of possessing counterfeit faith, and I am a fool if I think otherwise. Real faith is not merely sentimental. Wishing someone well while doing nothing to help them, that's sentimental faith. And it is not merely creedal. That means affirming something to be true, but which means or makes no difference to the way we live. Such things may be something, that sentimental faith or that creedal faith, but they are not Christianity, and they do not save. That's pretty powerful, right? I mean, that's a sock in the gut because you think of it, am I one who shows up to church and has for a long time because that's just what my family did, or that's just what my mama taught me to do? Well, you know what? I'm proud of your mama and your family for teaching you how to show up and to do some sentimental, traditional Christianity type things. But is your heart truly surrendered to Him? And are you truly moving in works that benefit others? We're talking about in chapter 1, the widows and orphans. Are you caring for your widows and orphans? Do you know them? And not only do you know who it is that God has called you to serve, but are you serving them with a humble heart, with a gentle spirit? Are you seeing someone who has a physical need? Are you working on that and helping them? Has God called you to live in forgiveness to someone who is not asking for your forgiveness? Are you doing that? Because that's a work. Are you in your household, women especially, you realize that you're the mood of the household. So are you living with such a gentle spirit and such a reverent tone? You're not emasculating your husband. You're not blasting your children or putting them on a godly pedestal, a lowercase g godly pedestal. Are you moving the mood of your house in such a way that glorifies God? That creedal faith, are you affirming something to be true? Are you telling your family, this is what I believe, but at the same time, hey, let's go watch an R-rated movie with a mild porn scene in it and language that's horrible. My kids get it. This is the way the world works now. That does not affirm your faith. Your work, your action does not affirm that faith. That's an easy one for us to slip off into because we deserve entertainment, right? Does your entertainment affirm your faith? Again, it says such things have maybe something, but they're not Christianity. Ask yourself, what evidence is there that your faith is not merely sentimental or merely creedal? This is super important for us before we go forward. And there's some very basic areas of our life. We can pick out the big ones. That's easy to do. But there's super basic areas of our life that we're not willing to surrender because, well, to be honest, our desire to serve God doesn't match that what we says it, we say our faith is. So, okay, I got to wrap it up. We're running long today. So anyways, I'm getting excited. This is such a good week. And so you recognize that only God can save you and only God can pour out the faith on you and repentance on you. But it is you who's responsible for living out in acts of worship. And acts of obedience that glorify the God who did save you. All right, friends, thanks for joining me here on A Heart Refined. See you tomorrow.